I'm Matt Katz, and this is The Takeaway. New York City's public schools have been at the center of the coronavirus crisis. As the largest school district in the country, in a city with the highest rate of infections and deaths from the disease. The New York City Department of Education announced this week that 50 of its employees have died of COVID-19. Now many are asking whether lives could have been spared, not just in the school system, but citywide, if schools had been closed earlier. Mayor Bill de Blasio and Governor Andrew Cuomo have not seen eye to eye on many aspects of the coronavirus response in New York, and that was clear again on Saturday when the mayor made this announcement.
After very careful consideration, I announced today that the New York City Public Schools will remain closed for the remainder of this school year.
Not much longer after the mayor's announcement, here's how Governor Cuomo responded in a press conference.
It makes no sense for one locality to take an action that's not coordinated with the others.
Is that action invalid?
That's his opinion, but he didn't close them and he can't open them.
His opinion. Here with us to check in on how COVID-19 is affecting 1 million school children, their families, and staff is Jessica Gould, education reporter for WNYC. Jessica, welcome.
Hey, Matt.
So clear this up for us. Are New York City public schools staying closed, or will they open again before the end of the year?
I wish I could give you a really clear answer on this, but we don't totally know. I could parse the legality of it for you, but I think what's more important to recognize is that nobody really thinks these schools are opening this semester. It's just unfortunate that we had to get such mixed messaging from our leadership on this, because things are really stressful for families and students. So to sort of ping pong back and forth between these two directives from the mayor and the governor just added to anxiety and stress.
Yeah. What are families and parents of school children and staff, teachers saying about the fact that this consequential decision came with this political bickering that New Yorkers have come to expect between their governor and mayor?
Yeah. I mean, I think even people who have come to expect this were pretty surprised that they couldn't get it together on this momentous decision. I'm just hearing a lot of frustration. Parents are frustrated already. As you know, it's so hard to homeschool and to work and take care of your kids and your household at the same time. And they were just looking for some clarity about what they're going to be doing for the next few months.
There have been at least 50 deaths within the school system that are linked to coronavirus. What do we know about those who have died?
The breakdown within the education department of who we've lost, it's 22 paraprofessionals who work with teachers in classrooms, 21 teachers, 2 administrators, 1 facility staffer, 1 guidance counselor, and 1 food service worker. And that's what we know so far. But getting this information was really hard. You know, a lot of the other agencies like NYPD and FDNY, the police department and fire department, have been giving updates on the lives lost in their agencies. But getting that information out of the Department of Education was hard. And they said they hadn't been collecting it in a unified way. They've started now collecting self-reported cases from members of the community. But there has been a push to really get this information out because some people feel that the mayor and the governor really dragged their feet on closing the schools, and that if they had acted sooner, they might have been able to stop the spread in school communities and then throughout the city.
These deaths in the school district will undoubtedly leave many children and adults dealing with trauma. Are there plans to support them while remaining socially distant and keeping the schools closed?
What I'm hearing is that the Central Office of the Department of Education is dispatching counselors out to school communities that have lost members of their communities. And the other thing is that the mayor and chancellor said this weekend that a main focus of next year, going into school next year, whenever we start again, hopefully in September, in the fall, will be a trauma-informed curriculum. There's so much uncertainty for so many families right now. And there is an awareness that the schools will have to be responsive to that. I'm not clear exactly on what that's going to look like yet.
The other big and more immediate challenge is this virtual learning. How's that going? How are children across the system learning virtually right now?
It's a range. There are some students who say they're actually doing even better with virtual learning, but most of what I've heard is frustration among parents about having to juggle homeschool with their other responsibilities and passwords not working, sometimes having trouble logging in. And then there are students that I've talked to for whom the virtual interface is just not as effective for them as a learning mechanism. I was talking to a junior, and you know, junior year is such a crucial year for students. His name is Edward Sanchez, and he's in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. And he was an honor student up until this point. And right now he's worried about his dad, who's a truck driver, and his mom, who's a nanny and isn't working right now. And he's up all night, and then he can't get through his work during the day. And so his grades have been falling. We're still trying to find out whether these grades will matter as such, and how students are being evaluated. So it's unclear yet, you know, if these grades are even significant, but for him, watching them go down has been really demoralizing, and he sounds like he's a little paralyzed by it.
Wow. And do kids have access to computers and the internet in order to do the sort of virtual learning that they're supposed to be doing?
Right. I mean, the Department of Education has been sending out batches of iPads and other devices by the tens of thousands every week, starting with kids in homeless shelters and then kids in public housing and so on from there. But they say, as of last weekend, they were saying that there were still 240,000 kids who needed a device, who had requested one and didn't have one yet. We heard that Mayor de Blasio spoke to Apple CEO Tim Cook, and this New York City had gotten in the front of the line to get more iPads by the end of this month, and they are trying to get a device in the hand of every kid who's asked for one by the end of this month. But that's a huge lift, and I'm calling around this week to find out, you know, have kids gotten them? Are they working properly? Because I'm hearing things like, you know, some of them are password protected and they're not given the password, or they're getting a device, but it's not compatible with like Google Classroom or whatever they need to use to get online. So even if they have a device, there are issues, and it's not clear that every student has a device or will have a device by the end of this semester.
Right. And then if they do have a device, can they get online? Do they have internet access in their home?
Right. I mean, at first there was this concern because some of the companies offering internet access weren't allowing families that had outstanding bills to pay to get online. That, I think, has been cleared up, and now they are letting families do that. But again, a lot of families aren't connected. And something that came up at the press conference that the mayor held over the weekend is that there are kids, and it doesn't sound like a small amount of them, who the school system has lost contact with, and they're trying to regain contact. But the idea that there are kids who have fallen out of the system and off the radar is really troubling.
Jessica Gould is an education reporter for WNYC. Jessica, thanks so much for your reporting on this.
Thank you, Matt.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.